today. That passage deserves a sermon, doesn't it? This is not normally the best way to read the Bible, but I'm just going to encourage you today to pick out that boiled sweet from the bag, as it were, and suck on it today and in the week ahead. Just notice that description of God at the beginning of verse 3. God, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Now, my dear friend, is that not a truth that will sustain you today and this week? The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. God, our loving Heavenly Father, feels for you in all that you are facing and fearing. Our God is the God of all true and ultimate and lasting comfort. We so easily look to other false gods for comfort. As I think I said last week, there is some comfort, isn't there? Maybe for a time, it seems, in the bottle and the Ben and Jerry's. But all other things, if we treat them like gods, if we make them our hope and security and comfort, even other people at their best, they will let us down. We must lift our eyes to God, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. I encourage you to dwell on that phrase this week. As Paul says, God comforts us so that we can comfort others with God-given comfort. Other people are going to need comfort in the months ahead, aren't they? So make sure that you receive comfort from God so that you have something to give out. It's no good trying to serve God on empty and go on in your own unaided strength and resources. You need God. God first loved us, and that enables us to love others. Our comfort comes from Him in the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and He gives us more than enough comfort if we will look to Him and His Word. His comfort will overflow from us to others. Our hope is firm. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We know that we may suffer, but we know God Himself, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. And now our second New Testament reading. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 21 to 40, and the passage I'm going to preach on you proper from. I'm afraid I've extended it a bit because the lectionary gave us a little snippet of three verses which I didn't really feel was quite enough for you for the whole week. And I wanted you to get Simeon's words about peace because of meeting Jesus. So make your days as we go through. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, page 1028. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple court. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. and a sword will pierce your own soul too. At the gold tail of Prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and was filled with grace and wisdom. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So as I say, the actual lectionary reading is that little snippet, verses 33 to 35. And this Mothering Sunday, I want to say to you six things. Yes, 6 points in the sermon, 6 things about Mary, the mother of God. But here it is in just one sentence. Well, one paragraph. Although some people make too much of Mary, she is a wonderful example to us of faith in Jesus Christ. She lived with strangeness and uncertainty. She believed and obeyed the word of God. She treasured up these things in her heart, and she faced suffering for the sake of Christ. So, in my opinion, some people in the church do make too much of Mary. They call her co-redeemer and queen of heaven. They think she was miraculously preserved from the stain of original sin, and that she didn't die, but was bodily assumed to heaven. Now, I think those things are mistakes. I don't think there's any biblical basis for them, and I think God tells us in the Bible how to worship him, if you want to know, which you didn't. But anyway, what would the Bible say about Mary, the mother of God, of Jesus? Would it not say that she was a sinner saved by grace, just like you and me? She calls God her saviour. Yes, she was a godly virgin, but that doesn't mean that she was sinlessly perfect. Mary seems not always to have got things right. Sometimes she must have had doubts and questions. She found it hard when the teenage Jesus had stayed behind in the temple and they couldn't find him. Remember that story? You can hardly blame her for that, but Jesus seems to. At one point, Jesus' family come to take charge of him because they think he's gone crazy. No, Mary wasn't perfect, but she was a wonderful example to us of faith in Christ. Maybe many people would say the supreme example. Just because some people have gone overboard on Mary doesn't mean to say that we haven't got lots to learn from her. And just because some people wrongly drive at 100 miles an hour doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't go at 70 miles an hour. Perhaps we could call Mary the first New Testament believer. She put her trust in her son, and that's what she would want you and me to do. She would have a focus on Jesus. She'd say to us, look, forget about me, really. It's all about the boy. Jesus' mum, like his cousin, John the Baptist, would say to us, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He, Jesus, must become greater. I must become less. That's a job really of every Christian minister, of every Christian. Behold the Lamb of God, Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world. He must become greater. I must become less. Now Mary is confessed by the church as the God-bearer, the Mother of God. But when you think about it, that's really a title about Jesus, not about Mary, isn't it? What does it tell us about Mary? Well, that she is a mother, and we knew that already. What does it tell us about her baby? That he was God. God incarnate. God come in the flesh. God made man, God small and weak, so that Mary could give birth to him as a human being, and he could die for the sins of the world. In Jesus, God came for us, to be with us, and to save us. And that is good news as we face this threat and fear and crisis, or any other threat or fear or crisis. What better news do you want than that God himself has stepped into our world for us and means to sort it out? This passage is somewhat about Mary, but it's really about Jesus. Jesus will cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, we're told. He is the child of our destiny. All human history pivots on him. It's appropriate that his birth divides the calendar in two. But every individual life turns on Jesus too. Life and death and eternity depend on what we make of him. There is no more important question in life. Now, what do you think of Jesus, God the Son? What would he say to you? Have you come to terms with him? Friends, the Bible tells us that one day we will meet him as our judge. Do we know him as our Lord and Saviour and brother and friend? He would welcome you today. Come to him in faith. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become the capstone. You can either build your life on the sure foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock, or you will be dashed to pieces on him. That is the stark alternative that the Word of God lays before us. He will cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, even in the ostensible church. Is that talking about two groups or one, the falling and rising of many in Israel? Perhaps it's two groups. Yes, some will fall, group one, some will rise, group two. Certainly that is true. Humanity is divided into two basic groups. Those who accept Jesus Christ, who will be raised up by him, and those who reject him, who will fall. But maybe one group is taken off here. We must fall and then rise if we are to come to Jesus. We must fall at Jesus' feet in repentance and faith so that he will raise us up. Mary says that in her famous song, the Magnificat. Humble yourself before God and he will lift you up. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He brings down princes from their thrones and he exalts the lowly and meek. He feeds the hungry and he sends the rich empty away. In the topsy-turvy kingdom of God, the way up is down. I told you before God's favourite shape. Some people think it's the cross. That's not. It's the tick. Down a bit and then up by miles. May that be the shape of our lives and our society in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak too. We may go down to the depths, but God can raise us to the skies, to heaven. Yes, maybe death, maybe physically, certainly spiritually, but resurrection. Mary lives with strangeness and uncertainty. There's a cartoon which perhaps you might think is blasphemous, which I think is rather funny, and if this was an all-age series, I might have shown it to you, but it's bath time and Mary's bathing Jesus, but of course, he's walking on the bath water. Now, I'm sure he didn't do that. But it must have been pretty weird having God as your firstborn. Nothing can really prepare you for the shock of becoming a parent in normal circumstances. But all the baby books did not cover how to parent your maker. This wasn't what Mary asked for or expected. The virgin will conceive and be with child. How can this be? unprecedented and unique are overused words. But the virgin birth certainly was, and the coronavirus probably is too. Pope Innocent III excommunicated King John between 1209 and 1213, and imposed what's called an interdict. All the churches were shut, there were no church services whatsoever, the dead couldn't be buried, no baptisms, and so on. And now again the churches are closed down. Even in World War II, the schools managed to stay open. So these things are pretty unprecedented, at least in our lifetime. We live in very strange and uncertain times, and so did Mary. So how did she cope with it, and how can we? The answer is that she believed and obeyed God. Mary said to the angel, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Like the disciples later, she could have said, "Nevertheless, Lord, according to your word, because you say so." It seems mad and crazy and horrible to me, maybe, but I'm going to take God at his word. What God says, she will believe and do. She shows a humble, patient, faithful trust in God. I don't need to have all the answers. I don't need to have all the whys and wherefores. I have the word of God, and by his grace, I'm going to live by that, depending on him. Let's be like Mary. She treasured up these things in her heart. What could you ponder from today's service for this week? Could be that phrase from earlier, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Or something about Mary. It ought to be something about Jesus. Why not try to stock your heart and mind well? Treasure Jesus in your heart. Ponder his word. Maybe memorize a simple Bible verse today that will help you in the week ahead. Lastly, Mary faced suffering for the sake of Christ. It was not a happy prospect, was it? A sword will pierce your own soul too. It's not health and wealth and happiness, trusting God and you won't get ill. It's not that. Mary would watch her eldest son cut off in his prime. Something heartbreaking for any parent. It was terrible suffering. But Mary would face it with Jesus and for Jesus. Some of us may face terrible suffering in the months ahead. But we too can face it with Jesus and for Jesus. Although, in my view, some people make too much of Mary, she is a wonderful example to us of faith in Christ. She lived faithfully with strangeness and uncertainty. She believed and obeyed the word of God. She treasured up these things in her heart, and she faced suffering for Christ's sake. Like Mary, may we know the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort.